The killer came to us in the trunk of a Lincoln Town car and stayed just long enough to wreck the house. By that, I mean the pile of brick that Naomi Nance uses as her personal residence, as well as for the business of solving unsolvable cases, assisting the helpless, and generally amusing herself by being difficult, if not impossible. My name is Alice Crane, and I serve as Miss Nance's recording secretary and chief factotum. In case you don't know, I had to look it up when she hired me. A factotum is an employee or assistant employed in a wide range of capacities. I mean, come on, this is the 21st century. Who uses fussy old words like that anymore? My boss, Naomi Nance, that's who. The Nance residence takes up most of a block in the Back Bay area of Boston. Don't bother trying to find us. We're camouflaged as two, or is it three, typical Victorian brick townhouses located somewhere between Starrow Drive to the north, Boylston Street to the south, Arlington Street to the east, and Charles Gate to the west. Check your map, and you'll see that pretty much covers the neighborhood. On the outside, we're staid and rather ordinary, the kind of staid and ordinary that only money can buy. On the inside, which was gutted and rebuilt a few years before I entered the picture, it's clean and sleek and modern, except for the Zen Sand Garden that takes up part of the ground floor. Boss Lady often meditates in the garden, drawing what looked to me like meaningless lines in the sand, saying it helps her to think. Like several of the staff, I live in. At the time of hire, it wasn't a choice for me because my adorable husband had suddenly vanished, along with all of my money, and it was either the Nance residence or my sister's place in Malden. The choice was Back Bay, with 12-foot ceilings, an exquisitely furnished suite, or Malden, a paneled basement with a cat-scented futon. Not a tough decision. There are days when Boss Lady drives me nuts, but my sister has the same ability, and she doesn't pay. Whereas Naomi Nance pays very well indeed, with benefits that include room and board, full medical and dental, as well as the occasional opportunity to right wrongs, dodge bullets, tilt at windmills, and rescue kidnapped children. I'd like to say there's never a dull moment, but that wouldn't be true. There are many dull moments, for which I'm thankful. 29 years on this planet have taught me that dull moments are to be savored. Dull moments fortify the soul, because without them, life would just be one thing after another, blurred together like the windows on a passing subway car. In my opinion, the best dull moments occur around the kitchen table. In this case, a 10-foot-long pickled white oak table situated in the southeast corner of Mrs. Beasley's basement kitchen. If Beasley had a first name, she's not inclined to share it, nor any information about what might have happened to Mr. Beasley, if ever he existed. She's not much for conversation, preferring to let her food do the talking. Her food, be assured, is eloquent on many subjects. For most people, fruit plate suggests a cafeteria serving. But then most people have never had the experience of a Beasley breakfast fruit plate. Farm-fresh local strawberries dusted with one of her secret ingredients. Could it be some exotic formulation of cinnamon? Perfectly ripened peaches that have doubtless been airlifted in from Georgia. Beasley has many connections. And sliced into mouth-sized morsels. A single medjool date stuffed with diced pecans. A chilled pear compote, lightly gingered. Honeyed bran muffins straight from the oven, slathered with hand-churned apricot butter that will make your eyes roll back in pleasure. And Mrs. Beasley's famous French press coffee, which makes your favorite Starbucks taste like thin dishwater. There are only three at the table this morning, because young Teddy Boyle, our spiky-haired live-in computer guru, has not yet emerged from his dungeon. Too much late-night fun, apparently. Well, he's of a late-night age, either 21, so he says, or 18, so Naomi thinks, or barely 16, my theory. Whatever, he's missing the muffins, so to speak. For the better part of a half an hour, there are no more than a dozen words exchanged between us. Naomi, never a casual conversationalist, concentrates on her morning papers: the Boston Herald, Boston Globe, New York Times, and Wall Street Journal, which she studies in exactly that order. Nothing casual about it, although she seems to enjoy the process as she scans and absorbs the text. Among her many talents, virtual retention of everything she sees, hears, and reads. Not word for word, but the essence thereof. On many a case, her remarkable memory has dredged up some small, useful item of information from weeks or months or even years ago. A notice of alternate parking on a particular street in the South End. Who was third runner-up in a celebrity fishing tournament in Nantucket? A warehouse fire in Jamaica Plain? A hit-and-run in Chelsea? Lives have been saved because of what she remembers. Villains apprehended. In one very disturbing case, a prominent sociopath took his own life. And if you knew the circumstances and the unspeakable crime he committed, you'd undoubtedly agree he made the right choice.